Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine, the MD, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. You are listening to the Reversing Diabetes with Delaine MD podcast, episode number 81. Welcome to the podcast. Today we are going to talk about diabetes medications and what pitfalls you need to watch for when you start to reverse your diabetes while you're on these medications. It's a really important component that I work with my clients and my group, but it's definitely something, as I'm making all these recommendations in my podcast to change your diet and take good care of yourself, it is so important to remember that you need to be very aware of what medications you are taking and how they're going to affect your blood sugars, what pitfalls you need to watch out for, and how to do it in a really smart way. Before I get started, I want to share with you, I think it's always important to talk about the ways that you can uplevel your health even when you're playing at your A game. Many of you are aware I regained my health about 3 years ago, but I'm still a firm believer that there's always an opportunity to uplevel. Many podcasts are sponsored. I'm not a sponsored podcast, and I don't necessarily want to be a sponsored podcast. Many times podcast hosts will plug a product as part of what they're up-leveling. I don't do that, but I do really want to provide as much value in this podcast as I can. So basically, I share my life hacks, the ways that I get through life to make it a little easier and still live my naturally healthy life at the best level that I can. So today's up level I want to talk about is exercise. I'm a lifelong exerciser. I started running when I was 15. Me and my best friend would run a mile loop, and that was what I started doing when I was 15 years old. I will tell you that mile loop, I was quite certain the first time I ran it that it was way farther than a mile. It seemed so hard. I can still remember that very, very first run. That really got me started. I went from there and I really just quote unquote ran with it. Excuse the pun. But I'm a lifelong exerciser. I don't find it challenging to work in my workouts, but lots of folks do. And so I kind of want to talk about that. I will say, even when I was quote unquote pre-diabetic, when I had a climbing A1C, when my blood sugars were too high, when I was hyperinsulinemic, even then I was still out exercising. I was running a marathon. And the reason that I always point that out is because exercise does not undo the food that you feed to yourself. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But I like to be active, and that makes it easy to fit in my workouts. But what I've learned with age and birthdays is that being active can really mean a number of different things. It can mean so much more than pounding the pavement for 5 miles, 5 days a week. So I've really learned a lot by mixing it up. So again, exercise is super important, but not always for the reason that people think it is, okay? There's tons of information out there regarding exercise and how it's beneficial for our health, but I always remind folks that exercise, it's wonderful for your heart, it's wonderful for your lungs, it is perfect for your soul, but it does not undo the foods that you eat. And for a diabetic, it's very important to recognize where it does benefit and where it doesn't benefit you. Again, I was exercising, running, literally training for a 26.2 mile run, and I was pre-diabetic. I also gained anywhere between 7 and 10 pounds during the 6 months that I trained for that marathon. So clearly, the exercise does not undo the food that you eat. It's very, very important to understand that. But specifically to diabetics, it does actually improve your insulin resistance, which is the cause of your diabetes, in a way that actually can last up to about 72 hours after a cardio session. So after a cardio workout, you can have benefits that last up to 72 hours on your insulin resistance. It's very, very important. I did a podcast episode about this a couple weeks ago. Check out episode number 77, where I dig into all the benefits of exercise. I dig into the recommendations made by the ADA and the American Academy of Sports Medicine Physicians. I think that's what they were. They did a joint statement. I dig into all their recommendations. And I also point out where diabetics need to be careful about exercising. So check out that episode if you want to dig in more to why exercise is so important. But today, I want to talk to you about how to exercise, because so many people are finding it really difficult to get their exercise session in, their workouts in with COVID. COVID has our gyms shut down. We are quarantined and on lockdown. It's really thrown a wrench into the possibility of working out. What I want to offer are some life hacks to get the exercise done, to get the job done. So first, if you need clearance from your physician, please go do that. Get that before you start your exercise. Second, if you develop chest pain while you're working out, I want you to stop working out. Stop that, see your doctor, get clearance. Use common sense here. So the hacks that I recommend to people, there are a ton of reasons why people can't get to their workouts. Right now it's cold outside. Nobody wants to get outside in the cold. Some people live in a place that's unsafe for them to get out and walk. Don't put yourself in an unsafe situation. There are other options. Some people, their gyms are closed down. There's all these things. And we use these reasons as the reason that we are not going to take care of ourselves. And I want you to recognize that that's your brain doing what brains do. Brains try to find the reasons that it won't work. And unless we challenge that story our brain gives us, we are going to believe it. And in turn, we are not going to take exquisitely fabulous care of the bodies and the life that we have. And that's what I want to help you learn to do. That's what I help my clients learn to do differently in their life when they work with me in my program. So the hack that I have for you, YouTube and Amazon Prime are your friend. In fact, Google is your friend. Search whatever the workout that you want to do, search it in Google and see what comes up. If you want to do home workouts, literally you can search home workout and you're going to get a number of video hits, YouTube hits, Vivo hits, whatever the other YouTube is. You're going to get a ton of hits that give you videos for workouts. If you want to do HIIT workouts, high intensity interval training, I think that's what HIIT stands for, HIIT workouts. Search that, HIIT workouts at home. Search it in Google, see what comes up. You can search yoga workouts, same thing. Search it in Google, see what comes up. You can search Pilates. All of that will come up. Amazon Prime has tons of these workouts available on your Amazon Prime membership. If you already have that, if you're watching Rio with your kids, you can also have exercises available to you. Recognize that's available to you. I personally, I have a pretty set routine about how I do my exercise, but my yoga is always on Amazon Prime, always with the same instructor. Her name's Julia Jarvis. Is she perfect? No. Sometimes she's giggly and dingy, but her yoga workouts are amazing. Every time they are exactly what I need. She has fabulous yoga workouts. So I deal with the other part, right? I think she's wonderful. I think she's charming and vulnerable and very relatable. I love everything about Julia Jarvis. Some people might listen to her and be like, gosh, she's dingy. And that's totally fine too. Great news. There are other yoga instructors on Amazon Prime. Find them, do those yoga workouts if that's what you're looking for. My point is not to let yourself believe the story that you can't get it done. You can't get a workout in until it gets warmer and the weather isn't so icky. You can't get it done because the gym is closed. You can't get it done because you don't know how to do it. There is tons. See that this is your brain giving you a junk story that keeps you stuck and sick. Recognize that for what it is and then talk back to your brain and realize you have options. When it gets warmer and you want to go back outside and do the workout, fine, go back outside and do the workout. That's fine. If you're trying a video, right, because you don't know if Julia Jarvis is truly a yoga instructor or maybe just some girl that likes to be bendy and flexible, right? You don't know if the Google search for the HIIT workout is from a reputable HIIT trainer, right? If you're doing something and it feels painful, like you're hurting yourself, stop doing it. Again, use some common sense here. Don't hurt yourself But also, don't let your brain believe the story that you've been telling yourself that you can't get it done, because there's tons of options out there if there's a way to get it done. This, again, is what I do. This is the work that I do with my clients. We work on these junk stories. Many of us find that we've invested money in home workout equipment that we don't use, or we bought a gym membership that we don't use, even if the gym is open. We have all of these stories. My suspicion is that if there was a gun to your head and you had to figure out how you could get a daily workout in, like, if because your life depended on it, gun to your head, right? Your life depended on it. You could have come up with some of these solutions that I just gave, right? You would have came up with them. The problem is you don't feel like it's that important, or you don't want to find the solution. And that's what we work on in coaching, because what I want you to hear is your life really truly does depend on it. Figuring it out is truly going to extend your life if you're a diabetic. So invest the solution like your life depends on it, like you have to do it, because you do. So this is the funny thing about the mind. Again, this is the work that we do. We avoid the workout. We avoid the workout equipment. We avoid going to the gym. Why is it that you're avoiding that? And why did you not think to have another resource, to look for another resource? Why did you not put together Google searches or YouTube searches or Amazon Prime? Why is your brain blocking it? That block is what has to be fixed. That's the obstacle you're going to have to overcome in order for you to reach your health goals. This is true for your exercise, and this is true for why you're eating ho-hos or burgers or pizza or ice cream or cake or candy or whatever it is that you're eating that's keeping you diabetic. The block is not, oh, should I eat ho-hos? No, clearly you shouldn't eat ho-hos. The block is why you're continuing to eat them, and that's what we work on. If that's the work that you need to do, don't hesitate to reach out to me. There is help for you. There is help with this. My program, that is exactly what it's designed for. If you're interested in that, set up a free mini coaching session by emailing delaine@delaneandd.com. Okay, before we dive into the meds, I want to make a quick plug for next week's podcast. We're going to be talking about the gray zone. This is a concept that I love, and my clients find it so helpful in figuring out what their next step is. The gray zone is really the zone between doing nothing and perfection. The gray zone between those two spaces, and figuring out where you want to land in that gray zone. It's a really great concept. So make sure you check it out. Make sure you hit the subscribe on your podcasting app so you don't miss any of these episodes. All right, medications. Let's dig into this. A couple of things as we're getting started. I'm going to go through the main drug classes and give a few drug names as examples. If one of your drugs is not what I've named out, make sure you find out from your physician or your prescriber what kind of drug, what is it that you're taking, and what class is it in? What class of medications is that drug in? What does it do? How does it work? You're gonna need to find all that information out if it's not clear in the information that I am giving you. Hopefully you've already had a conversation about the benefits and the side effects when this medication was prescribed by your provider, but we're going to talk a little bit about that. I am going to mention things like the benefits. There are weight loss benefits associated or reported out with some of these medications, and then there are cardiac benefits reported out with some of these medications. When I mention that, I want you to recognize what that actually means, and I'll go into it a little bit when I'm talking about each individual med class, but recognize the weight loss is minimal, even in the best scenarios. So metformin has a reported weight loss benefit associated with it, right? People will talk about it. Oh, it's going to kickstart your weight loss. There's weight loss with metformin. The studies actually show that the weight loss is about 3 pounds over 12 months. So recognize that when we're talking about the weight loss, that is nothing to get excited about. That is a very minimal effect for the medication that you're taking. Other medications will have higher weight loss benefits. One, I think the highest one is reported out as 9 pounds over 6 months. Recognize, again, that's not even 2 pounds a month. That is a very slow rate of weight loss. My point is that those benefits are not substantial. So if you are considering taking the medication because of that benefit, you need to understand what it is. We're not talking about massive weight loss. We are talking about very minimal weight loss effects. So see that for what it is, and weigh that information appropriately. The cardiovascular benefits, many of these medications do have improved heart risk. So cardiovascular heart risks, they improve your risk of heart disease,
heart attacks, cardiovascular disease, those kinds of things. Taking these meds, yes, there is going to be that benefit, but recognize also reversing your diabetes also will improve your cardiovascular risk, right? Very simple. Like, if you don't have diabetes, you no longer have the increased risk of having a heart attack that is associated with diabetes, or of having heart disease that's associated with diabetes. So there are other ways, other than taking this medication, to get your cardiac risk lowered, okay? Again, if you're deciding to take these medications based on that benefit, recognize that you can get the benefit without the medication and without the other side effects of the medication. Lastly, I'm going to be discussing the risk of low blood sugar. That's called hypoglycemia in the literature. Doctors, that's what we call it. Hypo, meaning low, glycemia, meaning blood sugar. So some of these meds have a higher risk of hypoglycemia or low blood sugar with them. This is very, very important for you to be aware of. If you have checked out and are looking at shoes on your iPhone right now and what you're going to buy, I want you to bring it back in and come back to me, because this is very, very important. When you were prescribed the medications that you are on, it was prescribed due to the dietary habits you had at that time. Those dietary habits were what was causing your blood sugar to be elevated. When you change your dietary habits and lower your blood sugars because your dietary habits are changing, you may no longer need as much of your medications. You may have a higher risk of developing low blood sugars depending on the medications. So it's very, very important. If you are taking a medication that can cause low blood sugars, it's very important that you are in close contact with your medical provider, making sure that you're discussing your blood sugar readings with them frequently. This is like frequent phone calls, frequent emails, maybe faxing your blood sugar logs to them so that they can make any required adjustment to your medication regimen, to the medications you are taking. They can make adjustments where needed because you're changing your diet. It's very, very important that you have that relationship with your doctor. So again, if you're on medications that are going to lower your blood sugar, you need to be in close contact with your physician, your medical provider, your doctor, whoever's prescribing the medication. It's very important. Again, this is what I do with my clients in my program. I am the doctor that guides them through this process. I am there for them if they need that. This help is available to you. So if this is something you're ready to get started with and do, send me that email, Delaine@DelaineMD, to get started and figure out if you're right for my program, and is this the help that you need to finally be done with your diabetes? Okay, so the medications. Let's dive on in. There are a number of different medications. Again, it's very important that you understand how they work. The medications can cause dangerously low blood sugars, as we've discussed, and you need to know what those risks are. So the first medication that's always recommended to be prescribed by the American Diabetes Association, the literature, all of these things, is metformin. Metformin is really, in the end, a pretty good medication. It does have some issues we're going to talk about, but there's a lot of benefits to taking metformin that has nothing to do with your diabetes. So if you're going to take a medication, metformin may not be the worst one to be on. It will not cause hypoglycemia or this low blood sugar effect. Metformin does not work that way. Metformin is combined with a lot of other medications. So there's combination pills on the market you're going to want to watch for and make sure that you maybe are getting metformin in some of these combination with other meds. But also recognize you may not just be on pure metformin. You may be on metformin with another medication that will have a side effect of lowering your blood sugar. So you need to be aware of that. Again, there is this slight lowering of the weight loss effect that is seen with metformin. Again, the studies show it's about 3 pounds over a year. There are negative side effects on the kidneys sometimes associated with metformin. Not always associated with metformin, but sometimes associated with metformin. Recognizing not treating and getting your blood sugars normalized also has negative effects on your kidneys. The metformin may have a problem with the kidneys, may not. High blood sugars will give you problems with your kidneys, okay? So recognizing that that's out there. There are many benefits to metformin. One of the negative side effects to metformin is it can be harsh on the kidneys. The other negative side effect that we have with metformin is gastric upset, so stomach upset. This looks like nausea. This looks like stomach pain, gas, bloating, and diarrhea. Those are probably the most common reasons that people do not like taking metformin and go off of it. There are some things that doctors can do as far as the formulation of metformin to make it to where you don't have to take it so frequently, so you don't have that effect so frequently. So don't give up on the metformin if it's like, I've taken it for 4 days, it's horrible, it's the first time I've had it. Don't give up on it. Go to your doctor and tell them why you don't like it and see if there's something they can do to help you out. Recognize how metformin works. It works by decreasing the gluconeogenesis that occurs in the liver. So the amount of sugar that your liver produces. Recognize your liver is so important in maintaining a steady state of glucose, of blood sugar in your blood system and your bloodstream. Metformin works by decreasing the amount of sugar your liver is producing. It also decreases the absorption of the carbohydrates and the sugar in the intestines. So that is metformin. And then you have glucagon-like peptide 1, or what we call GLP-1 agonists, meaning that they turn on this peptide versus an antagonist shuts it off. This is GLP-1 agonists. These are going to be meds like Victoza or Trulicity or Zultofy. There are combination drugs out there on the market that will have the GLP agonists in them. There is a mild risk of low blood sugar or that hypoglycemia with these meds. They are considered to have some weight loss associated with them. The numbers, the statistics, the numbers reported out in the literature are 4 to 9 pounds over 26 weeks. There can be kidney effects. There is the possibility of cardiovascular benefits with some of these meds. So heart health is improved with some of these meds. It works by causing the pancreas to squeeze out more insulin in response to the amount of glucose that's present in the bloodstream. It also delays food transit out of the stomach, so you don't get such a heavy spike in your blood sugar. Recognize when you're looking at the way, what causes type 2 diabetes, remember it's insulin resistance. I would argue that making more insulin in response to having too much insulin on board, so much that you're not responding to it, is probably not the right way to manage it. So recognizing that, but certainly like docs aren't giving these medications because they're trying to screw up somebody's diabetes. Docs are giving these medications because they're trying to help lower those dangerously high blood sugars. So there is a role for it, but certainly if you can change it just by adjusting what you're eating, that's clearly going to be a better option. So those are the GLP-1 agonists. The next class is SGLT2 inhibitors. Okay, so these are sodium glucose cotransporter 2. That's the name of the molecule these meds work on, and they inhibit them. SGLT2 inhibitors. These are things like Jardiance, Invokana, Farxiga, Stelglarto, which I'm not as familiar with, Stelglartro. Again, these also have many combinations out there on the market, so you have to watch for them to be sure that this may be a medication that you have, you just don't recognize it because it's in with a combination medication. So there is also, again, a risk of low blood sugars with this one. These are considered to have some associated weight loss, thought to be around 3 to 7 pounds over 26 weeks. Kidney complications can occur with these medications, and there can be associated urinary tract infections. There are some effects of negative bone mineral density, so meaning that your bones become more brittle, earlier onset of things like osteoporosis. And then a rare complication that is not commonly seen in type 2 diabetics is called DKA, and it can occur with this class of medications. There are cardiovascular benefits and also possibly some kidney benefits with Jardiance. Okay, so when I talked about the kidney complications that occur, it's really these urinary tract infections can be an issue. Not so much that they have lowering kidney functions, which is what we see with the other medications. They have a decrease in the amount of filtration that your kidneys do. This Jardiance can have some renal benefits, some kidney benefits with the Jardiance. So recognize that. And again, cardiovascular benefits. Again, I want to point out, if you no longer have the risks associated with type 2 diabetes, which includes cardiovascular disease or heart damage, the risk of a heart attack, or you don't have the risk of kidney damage occurring because your blood sugars are high, you don't need to be protected anymore from your type 2 diabetes. So really, just not being a diabetic is far more beneficial than taking the medication to protect you from your diabetes, as far as that goes. Now, if you can't make the dietary changes, then you gotta have the meds. That makes tons of sense. Take care of your body and protect it where you can. So how the SGLT2 inhibitors work is they reduce the amount of glucose that's absorbed, and that means they increase the amount of glucose that gets excreted into the kidneys. So they reduce the amount of glucose absorbed at the kidney level. Again, this means that they're excreting, your kidneys are filtering out of your body more of the glucose, and that's actually what gives you that increased risk of urinary tract infections. With the glucose sitting in your urine, that feeds any bacteria that might be there and then feeds an infection that could develop there. So recognize that that's a risk that is associated with these medications. The next class of medications, DPP-4 inhibitors. These are things like Tradjenta, Januvia, Onglyza, Nucina is a new one that's on the market. These are available in combo forms with other medications, so you have to be really careful and watch what you're taking. These are the gliptins, so linagliptin, sitagliptin, saxagliptin, alogliptin. That's their generic names. There is a mild risk of low blood sugar associated with this. There's no effect on the weight associated with this class of medication. These are to be used with caution in patients with heart failure. That doesn't mean that you can't use it. You just have to be very stable in your heart failure if you're going to be on one of these medications. How the DPP-4s work is they increase that insulin secretion from the pancreas. So they increase the amount of insulin in the system. They decrease glucagon, which is just a different hormone that causes higher blood sugars to be raised. And they slow a hormone called incretin. They slow incretin metabolism, meaning that there's more incretins available. More incretins available means there's more insulin available. Okay? So again, this works through insulin. If you are a type 2 diabetic, you have insulin resistance. Making more insulin available in the system is not always the best way to treat insulin resistance. Like, I would venture to say that 90% of the time it is not the best way to treat insulin resistance. But certainly if you're not able to make the lifestyle changes, you need to protect your body from these high blood sugars. That's why docs prescribe these medications. The next class is alpha glucosidase inhibitors. These are things like Glycet or Precoce. Again, there's combination drugs on the market, so see if it's in your med, in the medications that you're taking. There is no risk of low blood sugars with this. There's neutral weight effects, so there's no weight loss or weight gain associated with this. There's no kidney effect, no heart risks or benefits associated with this. How it works, it slows the glucose absorption, okay? That's how that class of medications work. You have your TZDs. These are things like Actos and Avandia. There's no risk of low blood sugars. It's associated with some weight gain. There are no kidney benefits or risks. There is a risk of heart failure. There is risk of liver toxicity. There is risk of bladder cancer. And there is risk of bone fractures in women. It works by increasing your cells' insulin sensitivity. So your cells will be more responsive. Remember, the cells become resistant to the message insulin is trying to get to them. That is type 2 diabetes. These medications make your cells hear the message more easily. That's really what's going on with these medications. The next class is a group called meglitinides, things like Starlix and Prandin. I've never prescribed these medications. I believe they are old medications. I don't think that they're new ones, and that's why I haven't prescribed them. I think they're just older and we have better meds out there. There is a mild risk of low blood sugars associated with taking these medications. There is an associated weight gain. There is risk of kidney issue and heart failure that can develop with these medications. They work by stimulating insulin. They squeeze more insulin out of the pancreas. Like we've talked, that may not be the best way to do it. That is also likely why there is an associated weight gain, though. More insulin will typically lead to weight gain. So recognizing that any time that we're making more insulin, you probably should be expecting that there should be some weight gain with this. The next class of medications are sulfonylureas. These are very commonly prescribed. They are older than God and cheaper than dirt, which is fabulous, except they aren't very good meds. most pharmacists are making recommendations against using these, certainly not first line, but many doctors still prescribe them because of their cost benefit, how available they can be to their patients, and many people still are started on these meds. These are things like, their generic names are what I'm most familiar with, glipizide, glimepiride, and gliburide. There are brand names. I don't even know that they're still sold under brand names, but Glucotrol, Amaryl, Micronace, or Diabeta are some of the brand names. There is a moderate risk of low blood sugar. So not a mild risk, not a high risk, but there is definitely a risk of low blood sugar with these medications. So if you are on these medications, you need to have a conversation with your doctor before making any dietary changes, and then you need to be very careful and watch your blood sugars and be in close contact with your provider. There is associated weight gain, and again, that associated weight gain is because it works by stimulating more insulin. There is risk of kidney issues, there's risk of heart failure development with these medications. Again, it works by stimulating insulin production from your pancreas. That is sulfonylureas. And then lastly, there is insulin injections. So there's a number of different formulations of insulin. There's regular insulin, there's Humulin, there's Novalin, there's NPH, there's combinations of all of these. There's long-acting insulin like glargine or Lantus or Detemir or Levemir. There's all sorts of options as far as insulin goes, but you're going to know it because you shoot it into your body. You have to have a syringe and you have to inject it. All insulins will be injected. We've yet to formulate an insulin that can manage the acidic environment of the stomach and still come out effective at the other end. So that's why they're always injected. So Lantus, Glargine, Humalog, Lispro, Novalog, Aspart insulin, it's Aspart, Novalin, Humulin, regular insulin, Levemir, Detemir, NPH, Traceba, all of these are different insulin combinations to be aware of. There is a moderate to severe risk of low blood sugars with these injections. There is associated weight gain. Again, we're giving you insulin. When we give you insulin, clearly there's going to be a risk of low blood sugar. When we give you insulin, clearly there is going to be weight gain because weight gain is caused by having insulin on board. That's actually the process of putting down and storing up more fat in our body. It works by having insulin on board. So there is some CHF and renal risks associated with insulin. So you want to be aware of that. Again, how it works, it stimulates glucose to be taken up by your cells. We're just overriding, we're yelling louder than the insulin resistance when we're giving you insulin. It inhibits the glucose production of the liver, and it also inhibits fat breakdown for fuel. And why it's doing that is because when insulin's on board, you're in fat storage mode. So those are the medications. Again, recognize your medication regimen was started by your provider based on the way you previously ate. With the new information about how you should be eating, if you implement that information into your life, you will not need as many medications as you had before. So it's very, very important to have a very open relationship and conversation with your doctor regarding this to keep you safe. I hope you found this information helpful. If you have any questions, don't ever hesitate to reach out to me. You can email me, delaine@delainemd.com. If you have any questions about your meds, definitely reach out to your doctor. Lastly, remember, this is really complicated. It really does require close monitoring, and there is help for that. You can get to that naturally healthy life. Don't give up on it, but get the help that you need. That's what my program's designed for. You can set up that free mini coaching session with me to discuss options. And if my program's right for you, email delaine@delainemd.com. But if it's not my program that you want to do, find a guide somewhere. Find a doctor that will work with you, a nutritionist, a coach, someone who will help you and guide you through this. Do not give up on living that dream of living your naturally healthy life. It's waiting for you. It's just out there waiting for you to come and get it. So do that. Do what you need to do to get there. And I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.